Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bankroll Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the other.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the chat.
Oh! 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It is time for the Bankroll Boys. Dan Lifshatz and Joe Murray. Joe 420 Murray. 420. Every time is 420.
I was looking for money lines at 420.
Right. Say one thing, it stays with you forever.
Yeah. You guys, as I was saying, should take a victory lap. A very profitable weekend after the picks that you gave out on the air. Is that right?
Yeah, 6-1 week.
Excellent.
6-1 week. We had the Cardinals and the... The over, nice two biggest bets. So the over in the Falcons game.
The Cardinals was nuts. That's the game that I put the money on. I thought that the Seahawks were going to blow them out. They did not. The spread was 3.5. They won by 3, and thus I won some cash. So thank you to you guys.
Did you guys write these?
I did. It was terrible. I just print them up just so you
know. No,
guys,
but it's funny. He says, very profitable week for the Bankroll Boys.
It was.
A couple exclamation points right. Thrown in there, too. Nice.
What was the one you crapped on? What was the which one?
Eagles. I had the Eagles. Square play. I always go with the square plays. Dan always gets on me about it, but Eagles was square. And maybe Dan can point out what a square play is, but
yeah, I got no idea what you're talking about.
The Saints were a square play, just a team that everyone's going to bet on.
Yeah, so like the obvious line. So like the Eagles are -3 against a team like the Titans. Everyone's like, oh, well, the Eagles are a much better team. They're going to blow them out. So that everyone bets on the Eagles, and that's how everyone loses money.
All right, so a square is like a poser gambler, like someone who doesn't really know the ins and outs.
Just
the anti bankroll boy.
Just like a public bettor, someone who
and faith. The public was huge. A couple of notes we had this week. 50% of the bets so far this year, 38-22. If you fade the public, you're up about $1,300 if you bet $100 a game.
Wow.
Okay. Fade the public.
So go ahead.
What does that mean?
50%, wherever side the money's
like hashtag.
On.
Okay. Hashtag fade the public. So yeah, whatever side the money's going to. Okay. I understand. Okay. So Thursday Night Football. Tonight, I know that now that T.Y. Hilton's out, that's been announced. We don't know what Rob Gronkowski is going to be doing. And as it stands, where is the spread for the Colts-Patriots game this evening?
So it's at 10 or 10.5. Really depends on the book you have right now. Obviously, the Pats are going to be favored at home and everything. The Thursday night spreads have been very tight. They pretty much closed on a number that has been like right there every single night, with the exception of the Bengals-Ravens. I would not touch the Patriots tonight. I think if you do, you're going to lose your money. I think this is going to be a classic, like, backdoor type of game. This is going to be one of those games that goes against the rule. The Patriots win, but they don't cover. It's going to be one of those, like, very rare, one of the 10-12% circumstances that goes against the rule. The primetime games are where all these people lose their money because they bet on the squarest possible play and they lose.
Squares. Bunch of idiots.
Don't be a square.
That's right.
Corners, bitch.
Give me the Colts tonight. So, yeah, I'm going with the Colts.
Now, Thursday night football, the underdogs have done well, pending on where the line is. So far this year, at least of what I've seen here, is against the spread, dogs have not won yet. It depends on where it's closed. Like, Atlanta was a dog opening night. They lost. Cincinnati was a dog. They lost. Last week was a push. Dan bought the hook and got it at 6.5, and the Rams ended up winning by 7. So the sharps have been on Thursday night football. This smells 31-20 Patriots tonight, and that would be the Patriots covering the spread. But all the trends lead towards the Patriots. Tom Brady on Thursday night football. Right now, Tom Brady 7-0 on 3 days rest. 5-2 against the spread on those on Thursday night football games. Patriots are 10-1 against their spread in the last 11 games as a double-digit home favorite. 9-0 straight up. So a lot of the trends lead towards the Patriots. And in this case, again, I would lead towards going against the underdog and taking the Patriots at 10.5.
Is usually a Thursday night football game a bet you stay away from? No, traditionally, because no. I've heard crazy? Thursday night you don't know what's what. Because
you think these guys are going to have an NFL
talking about,
game
I'm
on?
Not talking about them. I'm taking the public.
The Bankroll Boys, if it's on TV, it's being gambled.
Right. That's right.
They're gambling on the pig races at the Topps Field Fair.
I was there this week. People were telling me they saw you there, Rich. We were there the same night.
Dude, I put a hundo on Ham Solo, and he ended up losing, unfortunately, to Princess Squeaker.
I was just told, Dan Lifshitz, is this true? Do you bet on high school football?
No. Oh, well, I did. I did.
You are such a degenerate.
Right. No, okay. So we were doing the games here a couple years ago, right?
They're easy to pay off these
games,
aren't
they? They had lines up. I was like, well, I might as well make myself like have an energy.
They had lines? -21.
Who is setting lines on high school games?
Oh, they do it all the time. They have all the big high school teams.
Where did you find that?
Everyone slow down.
Did you guys ever see outside the lines on in Miami, how they bet on Pee Wee football down there?
No.
Oh, no. Google it. It is the most.
Just kidding.
It is so horrible.
All right. So let me. Okay. So, all right. Let's slow down. Everyone slow down. All right. So you were here while they were playing all the high school games.
Yes. Yeah, so
like the championship
games. I was producing the games.
And so it's boring.
It's not. I mean, it's not exactly entertaining.
Dude, I used to have to play the NASCAR qualifying.
Yeah.
When I was in Cumming, Georgia. So you're sitting there and you're bored. Now, how do you find lines, and how does this all happen?
There's a website that I use. Five Dimes has lines for all the high school football games on like the big high school football weekends.
Oh, those kids are so easy to pay off.
So they put them up. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't throwing real money on them. Like, you know,
15-year-old Jimmy in the third quarter. You're taking the fall.
Can you pull up lines for like this weekend's high school games right now?
I mean, I can. Let me see.
What's Everett High? What's the spread in the Everett High game?
Who does King Philip play this week?
Can I put money on the Everett game?
-24.
There's no Mass high school football games, but there are five high school football games.
Okay, so Dan, when they have the games on before college football starts and before the NFL starts, they have, like, you know, teams from different states play each other sometimes, or big schools from Florida.
Yeah.
Right. Now, there's got to be lines up. All right, Bert, it's radio. We gotta space out who's talking. Far too many people talking over each other. But when those games are on, and you know they're on TV and nothing else is on TV, will you bet those ever?
No.
Okay.
Never. The only time I ever did it, and I did it one time when I was really bored here, and I was like, I need something to do.
Okay. That
was
it. Did you hit?
Yeah, actually.
See, but that's just a total guess, right?
Yeah, 100%. There was just straight up guess, like just having fun.
All right. There's no underground website that scouts these kids?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there is.
I'm sure.
Not that I'm reading.
All right. So you got UFC 229 this weekend. That's going to be interesting. This is the Conor McGregor fight versus Habib. Right now, McGregor is the underdog, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So are you staying away from this, or what are you doing?
I personally like Habib in this one. I know everyone, and McGregor's going to be the public favorite.
The square.
He's going to be everyone's going to jump on him. they've seen him in the past, and the guy hasn't fought in a year. The last time he fought was a boxing match against Floyd Mayweather.
But you guys have said this several times.
In the undercards.
Pay-per-view
undercards.
In the pay-per-view undercards, you always take the underdog. I take usually in the main fight I would too, but there are more bets on Conor McGregor than every single other fighter listed combined on every single site, every single book, including in Vegas. So pretty much there's more money on Conor McGregor than anyone else on the entire card combined. So you have to fade that. Well, you have to go against that.
I'm looking at your stuff here on the sheet, and apparently Vegas doesn't think this is going to be a very long fight.
Right. The under is favored at 2.5. I like to see a good fight here, but again, you know, I just think McGregor's been out too long. He's missed a whole year. I hate betting favorites at the juice of -170, but I like Habib in this scenario. I would look at least at the over in this one. Just look at it. I think it could go the distance, maybe go to the judge at some point. But yeah, they look at it as someone's getting knocked out in this one.
Okay, so you would take the over in this.
Just because there's plus money and there's value there.
Okay, then I'll put my money on that. Let my winnings from last week ride on that. Is that what you recommend?
I'm not recommending anything. I'm recommending Khabib in this fight.
Okay, then I'll put money on that. But that's not much fun because he's favored. All right, so the Bruins total over under in points 101.5. This is from according to Vegas.
Yes, that was before everything opened yesterday, and I know that because I played the under.
Okay. So you picked the under. That
yes.
was before you saw what happened with DeGrasse last night.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you're going under.
Yeah. What improvements have the Bruins made whatsoever?
Well, the youth got better. I mean, they got older, another year of experience, and there's a lot of youth on the team.
But they had over 100 points. What were they, 104 points last year?
112, right?
112, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, a ton.
Yeah, but the division got better. I mean,
it did.
Toronto got much better. Florida is going to be an extremely improved team this year. Barkov, I mean, that kid is legit. They have a lot of legitimate talent on that team. They're going to be very good. The Bruins are going to be in an extremely tough division. They're not going to get as many points this year. That's why the line is lower in my, you know, in my opinion. I think they're going to take a pretty decent step back.
So take the under on the 101.5.
Yep.
All right. How about the Celtics win total? As of right now, it opened at 55.5, which is nutty in my opinion.
Pound the over, Rich. Right?
Well, now it's at 58.5. What are you guys doing? Over under on that one?
At 58.5, I like under. I mean, I don't know if this team can win 60 games. I think they're going to rest Kyrie Irving a lot. We still don't know how Gordon Hayward and is going to, you know, adjust with this team. So far in the preseason, he's not really getting many shots off. So, and even Brad Stevens called him out after the preseason game the other night. I just think 58.5 is too high. If it opened at 55, it's going to be right at the number. It went over last year, though.
It's always tough to bet the over on NBA teams, too, because of the way that coaches are managing.
Right.
They rest guys.
Yeah, it's absolutely the under or nothing. Everyone's on the over. It's one of those, everyone says, oh, they're going to win more games than they have last year. They got all these players. Remember, they're going like 12 deep this year. The rotation is going to be hard to manage. They're going to be giving guys nights off. It's going to be, I mean, the team might be better in the playoffs. It might be built better for the playoffs. But honestly, for the regular season, they're probably going to lose some more games this year. They're not used to playing with each other. It's going to take a lot of time to gel. I think that the under is probably the play there, and I think that they'll probably steamroll in the playoffs. But just because they don't win, you know, 60 games doesn't mean they're not a good team.
What's your high school lock of the week?
Very good.
This is very real.
Everyone, there you go. The Bankroll Boys.
They got their podcast over under 98.5. You can find that where, gentlemen?
Right at 98.5thesportshub.com. Also on iTunes and I believe on Apple. And the lock is the Kush lock of the week this week.
Yes.
I like the over in the Chargers-Raiders game 51.
Okay. You live, Chad?
I like the Lions to beat Green Bay at home on a pick 'em.
I'll take Culver City plus 10.5 at Lawndale. It was a real line, by the way. It was a real line.
It's amazing. All right, Bankroll Boys, thank you so much. Burt Breer in studio. We'll talk NFL coming right up.
Stay tuned for Tetcher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
.985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer from MMQB. And for the rest of the hour, 617-779-0985.
Mm-hmm. Burt is brought to you by the Salvador Auto Group, my car dealer. It's tailgating season, and Salvador has incredible deals on Chevy, Ram, and pre-owned trucks just off Route 2 in Gardner. And at salvadortrucks.com, Salvador's got your truck.
The guy emailed me. He's like, hey, Fred, what are you doing over there? Telling people to quiet down. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in studio.
There were a lot of voices
and
in here.
And if 4 people are talking at the same time.
Yeah. There's a little bit of you do when you speak on the mic.
Right.
You know,
it's the high school, it just blew my mind.
Right. I understand.
Absolutely blew my
mind. I understand.
Have you guys gotten Everett BC High this weekend?
I've not seen the spread.
Everett every time.
Yeah,
never go against Everett.
Nope.
The king of Everett. All right, quickly, let's get to the news that just broke. Gronkowski playing today.
I wouldn't do it. I personally look at this. He had a pre-existing ankle injury coming into last week's game. He aggravated it. And I think the choice you make here is, do you play him against Indianapolis on 4 days rest, or do you save him and give him 14 days to get ready for a Kansas City game that could wind up determining where a playoff game is played,
right?
Like that game a week from Sunday could wind up determining whether or not a divisional playoff game or the AFC Championship is here at Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not, like, I personally am not messing with that. I wonder how much the incentives come into play here. Or if he's pushing to play.
Oh, wouldn't that backfire on the Patriots?
Like, yeah, I mean, like, if he's pushing to play, because, look, I mean, he's already gotten off to a slow start. We've heard, you know, the grumbling from the Gronkowski family about, you know, well, what's he supposed to do? You know, like they're covering him like he's the gunner on a punt team. Like he needs help. So he's already off the pace that it's going to take to get him to those incentives.
Well, that's one of the reasons we were speculating that Brady stayed in so long during that Miami game when they were up by so much. I'm like, dude's got incentives.
Still throwing passes.
Yeah.
But isn't that always what they do with Brady, that you always think they should pull him and they keep
him? And there's always the – Belichick always has the FU score at the end of games, you know, throwing deep, what have you. You know, they've had teams down and then throw a 40-yard pass downfield. That's the history. That's true.
I just – it'll be – it's interesting. Like, it's an interesting subplot, and I think this is why for a long, long time, almost by rule, when I first started covering the team, they didn't really put – individual statistical triggers and contracts. And I think this is like mainly the reason why. Now, you would see like Pro Bowl, All Pro, you'd see that sort of stuff, but like, to my knowledge, I can't really remember there being like individual statistical stuff in there,
like top five in receiving yards,
and you see those other places, but you wouldn't really see them here. And I think that the main reason you wouldn't see them here is this.
Yeah, you're pushing through stuff that could compromise you.
Right, but not only that, but it's also like you know, a guy's going to be more focused on their individual statistics.
Right.
Because that's human nature. If there's a million, 2 million, $3 million on the line, how are you not thinking about that? Of course you would, right?
Right.
So, like, I have to wonder if, to some degree, if you're Gronkowski, if you're more willing to push through something, if you know that there's a few million bucks on the line.
Okay, the other news, obviously, is that Julian Edelman returns today, and we were talking about this right before you got here. So last week, or on the 30th, a couple days ago, Mike Giardi reported that Julian Edelman has not been working out at the TB12 facilities the last 4 weeks. He was on his own program, and then they've got the report that came out yesterday, I believe it was from Adrian Wojnarowski, who said that the last 4 weeks, Julian Edelman had actually been using the Celtics workout facility to do his training. Now, as we know, Edelman has been one of the biggest disciples of the TB12 method, a huge salesman. He's spoken in glowing terms about it.
Right.
And for him to all of a sudden stay away, because he's allowed to go to the TB12 facility, he just can't go to the Patriots facility.
And the easy thing to do is to tie it back to the PED suspension.
Sure.
And how quickly, if you guys remember, how quickly Alex Guerrero distanced himself, distanced the facility, distanced the program from Edelman.
Yeah, like
almost in a, it didn't take very long either. It was like that. It was, then, I think, day of the news coming out.
Yeah.
And it was almost like it was a reaction to Felger and Mass. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it sounded like.
Well, then
Brady
threw a fit when he was asked about it.
And in his press conference.
Yeah.
Right. So what does that mean to you, that he has been distancing himself from Alex Guerrero and the TB12 facility?
On paper, not much. Like, I think any time a player changes his training regimen, it's worth watching, especially when he's coming off of a major injury like that. So, I think it bears watching going forward.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong,
I don't think it's going to have an effect on the field, though.
Wasn't it the injury that Tom Brady had that kept him out for most of the year, almost the whole year, that brought him to Guerrero? Isn't that where Guerrero apparently, he fell in love with Alex Guerrero's methods? Wasn't it during that time in his recovery?
Yeah, that was when, I don't know if that's when he, because it was Willie McGinnis who introduced him.
Yeah, but I thought it was
Willie had worked with him in California. But that was when he sort of started to look like, okay, I've got to change the way I do things. And I'm not sure if...
This is supposed to be when Guerrero's at his best, is what I'm trying to get at. And so for somebody to become
you're right. This is what sold Brady on the idea, like, because the way he came back off of the injury, because he went through so much. He went through the infection and everything else coming off the ACL. I do know that, like, what sold him and what kind of turned him in the way that he just manages his body, and sold him on the idea of Guerrero being the guy, was going through that. I don't know if that was like the introduction. I think it may have happened. I think the introduction from Willie to Guerrero may have happened before
but
then.
But the point is where he became. This
that's
is where
he became like kind
best.
Of like.
So the point is, if that's, and you know, Brady has led Edelman to TB12, and if Brady, you know, got used Guerrero to get through that ACL. Isn't it odd that Edelman isn't working with them, working with Guerrero? Instead, he's, you know, distanced himself from that.
Yeah, I think Guerrero, well, Edelman was always, I know the perception is because Edelman's kind of seemed like he's halfway up Brady's rear end for the last decade.
He's stolen the logo. He's stolen
TE 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That he's like full on TB 12, Guerrero 100%. And I don't think that was ever the case. Like, I think he's done a lot of things with Guerrero. My feeling was that he still did weights. He still, like, there was sort of a, like, I'm going to blend what Guerrero does in with what I believe in. And so, and I think that's what Gronk too. Like, I think both those guys do a lot of the stuff that Alex wants them to do, but they're not all in the way that Brady's all in. And so I don't think it was crazy to think that, you know, Julian would take, like, say, okay, I don't really need to do that right now. I can take the stuff he told me about pliability, flexibility, all of that different stuff, and I can go work out somewhere else. I don't think it'd be that hard to do.
All right, wow. Chris, with some inside info. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So my girlfriend works up at Patriot Place, and every Tuesday morning, the last 4 weeks or 5 weeks, she lets Edelman cross the road. He goes into TB 12 at 8:30, so he hasn't stayed away.
Ooh. That is a Mike Giardi report that is being, disputed.
Now, does your girlfriend immediately, like, pass out with lust when he walks by?
Pretty much. She thinks she's got something with him, even though she lets him pass, but I'll let her have her moment. That's fine.
All right. She comes home, and she shuts her eyes and says, Chris, make sure you wear JE11.
Does she have some JE11 apparel?
That's right. That is breaking news.
She blindfolds herself and pretends.
We have to break, but when we get back, I want to talk to you a little bit about what you're hearing. How's Tom Brady handling this first four games of the season? Because, you know, there's obviously been reports of him being frustrated with what's going on. To what extent, I'd like to know. Also, you know, talked about Kansas City. Is this team for real? And Patrick Mahomes, is he going to turn to a pumpkin, or is he just that good?
And also Le'Veon Bell and the situation going on over there. 617-779-0985. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Patrick and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer from MMQB in studio.
I do want to, because just real quick while we're wrapping up with the Patriots, the behind-the-scenes stuff with Tom Brady, I mean, you can see the frustration on his face while he is on the sidelines. I mean, last week was a nice break from that. But the first 3 weeks were tough. What are you hearing about what's going on with him and where his head is at the beginning of the season?
I've heard he's been pretty open about his frustration with people around him. And that, like, this is sort of filtered through to other people in the league, and it's mainly directed at who he's throwing to. And the fact that it's what we think it is, you know, it's just the idea that they would go into the season. And this is, to me, like, the ultimate indictment on the way they manage their offseason. They need Josh Gordon. Like, they need Josh Gordon to be a significant player for them.
Right, instead of being a luxury that you can pick up and
instead
just get
rid of.
Instead
of just a bonus, like, we're rolling the dice. Right. Like, let's see what happens. It's like, it's a need item for them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, like, I look at, like, Cleveland, who's been one of the worst teams in the league forever. And I remember a conversation I had with Hugh Jackson in August about this. And he said, we can't afford to depend on Josh Gordon anymore. Like, we have to treat him like a bonus. He's like, now I'm rooting for the kid. I like the kid. I want to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but we have to treat him as, like, anything we get from him is icing on the cake. And so that's why we trade for Jarvis Landry. That's why we draft Antonio Callaway, because we feel like it's a fool's errand to be counting on Josh Gordon to produce for you.
Yeah.
And then what happened? He let him down. And now you're bringing him in here after that happening, Cleveland of all places. And now he's like his success, like, you're going to be relying on him. So, like, that to me is, like, the ultimate example of where they are.
So what does that mean?
And I feel like, look, I think Brady, like, he's got a right to feel this way, too. I mean, you know, the idea of having a patient approach to building a team and all the rest of it. When you're 41 years old, do you really care what the Patriots look like in 2021? Because the principle that they've always built, and you have to respect the way they've built their team over the last 20 years. There's no question. Those are the gold standard. But you're hanging on, but when you're hanging on to a principle like, okay, we're not going to do things with just the 5 feet in front of us as our focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you wind up costing yourself in the short term. Does anyone know what it's going to look like in 2 years? Right. So Brandon Cooks is like the one shiny example of like, okay, that's great that you got a first round pick back for him, but like,
Don't have Brandon Cooks.
Like, but now you don't have Brandon Cooks.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you drafted a guard to replace him. You don't have that player either. And I you can't blame him for that. You can't forecast that. But it's a lot like the Deion Branch situation in 2006. And you guys remember that. Now, I think anybody would look back at that and you can look at that trade on paper. Right. Look at the Deion Branch trade on paper. Did they get a good return for Deion Branch? They got a first round pick.
Yeah, okay.
So hell yeah, they got a good return for him. Was it worth it? The opportunity cost may have been a Super Bowl championship. Okay.
Well, they should have won. They should have won.
Okay.
Anyway.
So the lead in 2006, they lose in Indianapolis, right? If you have Deion Branch, do you win that game?
They were up 18.
If you have
Deion
Branch, do you win that game?
No, I think I'm not positive of that. No.
I think you probably do.
They were up. That was on the defense in the second half.
But Rashay Caldwell drops the ball at the end of the game. There were points where they could have put that game away where they didn't. Okay, so it looks on paper like that was a great trade. But the opportunity cost there was a Super Bowl championship. Because if you beat Indianapolis, mm-hmm. you're playing Rex Grossman in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yes. Okay, so you're probably winning the whole thing. So that's the way I think you have to look at these. Now, when Brady, at that point, I think he was 29 at that point. So when Brady is 29 years old, you know your window is wide open. You're going to be good for a long time. So you can understand making a move like that a little bit more. Now you look at it, you're doing the same thing. I think the opportunity cost, I think that equation comes into play here, where the opportunity cost could be, it could wind up costing you the divisional round, the championship round, whatever it is. Okay. Now you've got a 41-year-old quarterback. So you're looking down the line, that first-round pick, and in that case it was Brandon Merriweather, in this case it's Isaiah Wynn. That guy could be an all-pro in 3 years. But like, what good does that do Brady? And B, if you're like now one of these teams in 3 years, it's like just like wandering around in the wilderness looking for a quarterback, like what good is like a guard going to do you?
So as you say that they're depending on having Josh Gordon there because, you know, the situation that they put themselves in, what are you hearing about how Josh Gordon is fitting in with the team and their faith that he can keep it
I think together? It was significant. Now, I think it was significant. Now, here's the positive in all of this. It's significant that he threw the ball to him twice on third down. Like, we've seen Brady in these spots before just throw one up on first down to try and engage a receiver, right? Like, we've seen him do that before.
We've also seen him miss or not throw to Hogan on Sunday when Hogan was wide open.
Right.
What happened between the two of them?
What does that say when Hogan can't get separation from slot corner?
No, he was open.
Understand that, but the trust is no longer there that he can get away, so he's not looking at him.
Hogan has to be like your... What we've learned about Hogan over the first month of the season is he has to be like your third or fourth option.
Yeah.
If you're relying on him to be the guy that's going to take coverage with him and everything else, you're in trouble. So, like, that's – and getting Edelman back is going to really help there. Hogan can be a really good role player. We've seen that. Like, I think a big piece of it is, like, he can't be the focal point of the coverage. If you get him one-on-one, he can make people pay for
that. Do they believe in Foxborough that Josh Gordon can – I guess, behave himself? I mean, from what they've seen over just the short amount of time they've had.
There's no way they know. No way.
I don't think it matters at this point.
Cleveland didn't know what they were going to get from him. Cleveland had him in the building for 6 years.
But he's been a good soldier, right?
He's been fine, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was never a problem with him, though. That was never the issue with him. Like, now, there were questions about how much he loved football, how engaged he was at times. And we'll see with that, you know, and he's got to work himself into football shape, which is part of the reason why Cleveland was so frustrated with him, which is, I mean, they believe, you know, kind of played into his hamstring injury that he was suffered outside of the context of football. So there are some things there, but I mean, he's not dumb. He is a good kid. by all accounts, is he's got like the question is like the full on commitment to football and whether or not he can keep his substance abuse issues in check.
Wallach says he got a 10-cent head.
That's right. Didn't like the deal at first because I didn't think
he tweeted out.
Himself.
He goes, Josh Gordon's got a 10 cent
that's
head.
That's what I said.
I'll
yes.
tell you what, that's
ain't a $1.50 in there.
No, nope, 10 cents.
That's a hard position. That's a really hard position to acclimate to in the NFL. Like, normally it takes guys 2 to 3 years. He came in his second year in the NFL and had 1,600 yards in 14 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. I mean, so, like, say what you want. Like, he came from a pretty basic offense at Baylor, right? Like, that not everybody adjusts. Like, we've seen guys come out of that Art Briles offense, and it doesn't work always. He came from that offense at Baylor, like, had a really uneven rookie year, and then in year two just exploded. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think you if you want to, like, take that part of it, like, his, you know, acumen, his head for the game, his instincts, that sort of stuff. His love for the game is something else. But, it, like, as far as just his ability to acclimate to a different situation, I don't think there's much of a question there.
All right.
Not huge ones, anyway.
We're going to break 617-779-0985. We can talk about the future of Le'Veon Bell. We can talk about Kansas City. So many topics. So many topics. Why I hate Baker Mayfield so much for no reason. But he just drives me insane.
He's easy to hate.
Yes.
He is. But you know what? I've kind of gone to, I don't know, maybe
he's
it was Hard Knocks that did it. Maybe
good,
it was Hard
good
Knocks
draft pick?
It. Yeah, maybe because he's exciting to watch.
Pick.
Like, he's actually a fun
you
player
don't know
to
that,
watch.
John. How about Don Magic Mikowski? I can give you. I mean, there's a
I've
bunch of
I've always liked Baker Mayfield, Fred. I told you he's going to succeed.
Yeah, him and Tebow. You like them both.
You're comparing him to Tebow now.
Yes.
All right.
Was Wallach a Tebow guy?
No. No, I was not.
Yes, he was.
Don't lie. You wanted.
He converted to Christianity.
Dude, you showed up naked and covered in peanut butter when the Patriots got him.
That's why he's turned his back on his faith.
Because of Tebow. That's right. You got me.
That's why Yom Kippur comes and goes and there's no celebration.
Instead, I have a cross dangling from my neck. Yes.
That's right.
That's right.
No menorahs, all Christmas trees.
That's right.
That's the case. John's completely turned his back.
I don't chop one down every year.
That's right.
Yeah, right. But you know what? Not all. You know, if when Passover comes and goes, you can explain that to your family. All right, so we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bert Breer from MMQB is here. I've read about teams that might be interested in him, including Los Angeles. Does he get traded, Bert?
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
The Rams.
Yep.
See, I heard the Jets.
No, the Jets aren't going to get him.
Okay, but
I'll give you a no on the Rams. I'll give you a no on the Jets. I'll give you a no on the Eagles. I know that they've been bandied about. The two teams that I think other teams are keeping an eye on are Green Bay and Tampa. I still have a hard time seeing Green Bay do it. Tampa's the one that you could kind of see because everyone's job is on the line there. Like Jason Light, Dirk Cutter, like everyone's fighting for their jobs there. They just went to Jameis. If you're fighting for your jobs, you're not that worried about future draft picks, right?
Sure, yeah.
They would have to make some things work from a cap standpoint, but again, you're not as worried about mortgaging some contracts if you're fighting for your job. And look, I mean, offensively, right, like Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, like you put like Jameis is going back in there now. You could, like putting Le'Veon Bell in that group, like, that might be as talented an offense as there'd be in the league.
What do you get? What do the Steelers
I don't
get?
Think there's much of a market for him at all. And one of the biggest problems with moving him or trying to move him is by rule, the other team can't sign him to a contract extension. So he's by definition a rental. Like you cannot sign him to an extension.
But there's a nod and a wink though, right?
I mean,
why would Le'Veon Bell agree to that?
Yeah,
sure.
All that does is put a ceiling on what he can make. Because if he plays great, well, then you sign the deal.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play well, do you think the team's going to go through with it? No.
No.
They're going to say, screw that. You didn't live up to your end of this. So Le'Veon Bell's got a clear highway right now to free agency. Like to franchise him again would cost you the quarterback number because it'd be a third franchise tag. So no one's going to franchise him at $25 million. That's what it'll cost to franchise him in 2019. So
I wouldn't sign him with someone else's money. I watched him at Michigan State, and they ran that.
Good turn of phrase there.
That's right, baby. I watched him at Michigan State. I've never seen a running back get more carries in college football than
D'Antonio
was just like,
just
hey.
Wore him out.
Like, Le'Veon Bell wasn't that great.
Wasn't there like a 50-carry game against Michigan or something like that?
Oh, I'm sure.
I think there was.
By the way, he ran Le'Veon Bell so much that he didn't even look special. Like, he was just like, he just gave him, he gave him the ball. John one day looked up how many times he carried the ball at Michigan State.
Yeah.
So you take that into consideration.
I'm not positive there's this pot of gold at the other end of the rainbow for him either. He's got suspension history. He's one drug test away from a year suspension. He's got injury history. And, like, he's got 6 years of mileage. 6 years of NFL
so
mileage.
So has he reached his expiration date? I mean, usually running backs around 28, 29 are done in this league.
Find me a workhorse back. Now, guys like Jerick McKinnon are different because the usage isn't the same.
Sure.
Find me a workhorse back who got a big second contract from someone else. Almost always those guys get paid by their own teams or don't get paid. Like, almost always you see, like, Todd Gurley just got paid, right? Devontae Freeman got paid by the Falcons. It's rare that you see one of those guys, like, either they get worn out and then they wind up never getting a big second contract, or they get their big second contract from the team they're on. It's rare that you see one of these guys get just a mega deal. I'm not saying he won't get paid. Like, I think if he gets the end of the year healthy, like, he'd get a decent deal somewhere.
As much as he was offered by the Steelers?
I don't know that that's there for him.
Yeah, right. I agree.
You know, and I've heard there were people advising him to take that deal. Take the deal that the Steelers offered in 17 and take the deal that the Steelers offered this summer. And he said no because, and look, I think you can draw a parallel to Gronk here too. I think he looked across the league and said, well, and this is fair, Sammy Watkins is getting $16 million. I'm better than him. Allen Robinson's getting $14 million. I'm better than him. Like, he's like, why do I have to be a prisoner of my position? The same way Gronk would look at it and say, just because other tight ends aren't getting paid this way doesn't mean I shouldn't be paid like a top skill player. I am a top skill player. I'm worth more than a half dozen receivers who got paid at the top of the market.
All right, Patrick Mahomes, is this, because I know that the Patriots play them in 2 weeks. Everything he's done over the first several weeks has been unbelievable. And last week with the left-handed throw was just kind of the cap.
Not only that, like, to me, I thought the best throw he made was, do you guys, the 3rd and 16 throw where he was rolling right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they had to have that one. He's rolling right and, like, throws it against his body on a line to Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's interesting. I was talking to him a couple weeks ago, and I asked him about that, like, throwing from the weird angles. You know where that comes from?
Where?
Well, you know, he's the son of a baseball player, right? So
actually, didn't know that.
Yeah. His dad played for the Red Sox. Pat Mahomes Sr., I think, was a middle reliever. Middle reliever for the Red Sox. Yeah.
Submarine guy?
No.
Sidearm guy?
Nope.
Classic delivery, right, Wallach?
I don't understand how he learned that from his father.
He was a great high school baseball player, chose football over baseball. What he said to me was, I was always a shortstop growing up, and so I had to learn to throw off balance. I had to learn to throw sidearm, and so that was the big thing with him, was like that, you know, he took this stuff to football. He wasn't a classically trained football player, wasn't a classically trained quarterback. So he just took baseball principles to football. And then when he got to Texas Tech, it was like Cliff Kingsbury was like, this is working. I'm not screwing with this.
Well, the one thing about Patrick Mahomes that you can say, I mean, if you look, the ratings for the NFL are up this year. And it's because the quality of the games have been great.
A lot of quarterbacks going for a lot of yards. The week four Thursday night and Monday night games. Right? The standout.
Unbelievable. Awesome. On top of that, you're right. Thursday night, which is traditionally awful, has been great. Monday night games have been great. But on top of that, finally, you know, everyone was complaining that there's no stars anymore when the Peyton Manning stuff died off. This young crop all of a sudden is coming to their own, and now they're excited.
You hate to say it because I hate the way the rules have gone, but you sort of see why they protect the quarterbacks. Like, you sort of see.
Of course. Like, the intention behind it is blatantly clear.
Right.
Yeah, but it also sucks.
But that was part of the reason why, like, last year. Like, and I think, like, the product really suffered last year. There were so many of the quarterbacks that were hurt last year. And, like, look now, I don't know that you guys can go through all 32 teams. There is not a single team in the NFL that is up a creek at the quarterback position. And I can't remember it ever being the case. There's not
Buffalo.
A single
Bills.
Buffalo.
Well, but they just drafted one. In the first.
Yeah, they like
Allen.
I think he's going to be a tremendous failure. But that's your opinion,
Denver. Though. Denver's got Case Keenum, who's like that's not up the creek. That's like you can win with him. Like,
I see what you're saying,
but there's not a team like go back last year. The Jets were up a creek. The Browns were up a creek. Like those teams were.
NFL team has a quarterback that they believe in.
Right. Every NFL team has like some sort of plan at quarterback, like with a player. A planet quarterback that's not just we're going to draft one. A planet quarterback with a player who's currently on their roster.
Yeah, just don't go to a game if you want to enjoy yourself. Just sit home so you can flip around.
You don't like Route 1 very much, huh?
No. I went to that Lions-Jets game and because now every time they call a penalty and roughing the passer, they got to sit there and talk about it for 5 hours. All this is dead time. All this is sitting there. At least you can put on Married with Children. When you're watching a game at home. All right. Bert Breer from MMQB, thank you so much, sir, for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. No commercials here, just the headlines. 617-779-0985. When we come back from headlines, just an absolute disaster at the Garden last night.
If you hate Tuukka Rask, this is your Super Bowl this morning.
Oh, Washington. What did I say?
Whoa, was that Washington bad?
Yeah.